The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Beep, beep, all aboard, money car.
Why, a car is so small, we can't fit. We can't fit more than like three people in a car.
There's a trolley pulling into the station. It's made of money.
How about this? I like this analogy better. Ticket, please, because you've been riding our comedy train for three fucking years. And if you don't hand me that ticket, we're going to throw you off. We'll ban your IP.
Hey, it's me, the Piper. What's up?
Hey, Piper's here. It's me, Piper Parabo. Time to pay for your favorite comedy podcast. Thanks, Billy Piper. Sincerely, celebrity endorser. Billy Piper.
This is Billy Mays. Billy Mays here for a new product that you've been been using for 3 years. I'm come back from the dead. I'm a spectral form now to tell you you've been listening to this podcast for 3 years. Time to chunk up the change. Is that it?
Time to chunk up the change with my brother and me. Special pledge drive podcast. It's time to pay the Piper. We got a big show for you today, we bet. As we record it, I'm sure its size will be revealed to us. It seems like it will be big. Do you guys want to say anything on the podcast? Or
guys, thank you so much for your support. Because I'm assuming that you heard on Twitter that it was Max Fun Drive time, and you immediately clicked the link, and you immediately just immediately junked us right there, right there on the spot. You plonked it down, a big one.
And I also appreciate you. I assume. Choosing MBMBAM as your favorite podcast website.
Mm-hmm. Obvs.
And then tweeting about it and telling all your friends that they should be ashamed of themselves for not doing the same.
We just jumped right into it. Look, the Max Fun Drive, if you are a new listener, this is our third go-round with the drive, with the pledger. It's a two-week-long e-event that our parent company...
You could just say e-event.
E-event. That our parent company sets up is a fundraiser. You can help support us and other amazing shows on the Max Fun Network. We do extra super length episodes. We have bonus content. We have pledge gifts. We're going to get to all that and more, but it's a special time. It's a special time to be part of the Max Fun family.
That boy, Griffin, you said a mouthful. And this year is like none other. We've got a ton of great pledge gifts to tell you about, but there's going to be time for all that. First, let's just get into the advice. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby, Griffin McElroy. This week's show, I'm going to say all the syllables wrong.
Let's get the first question. I'm 26. I have a degree in animation, but I decided a year ago that it just wasn't what I wanted to do. I've begun a track for computer science programming, but thoughts of my ever nearing death have had me thinking of other ways to spend the remaining days on this sweet earth. I've always wanted to be a pilot, specifically flying helicopters, but training is expensive and the career path takes quite some time to move up. Should I go even further into debt to chase my dream, or should I follow the money and spend the rest of my days in a cubicle? That's from Feeling Shackled in Chicago.
I am in no way being flippant. What jobs are there for a helicopter pilot?
Yeah.
Okay, there's hospital guy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's... you could work for, like, park rangers? For, like, when fucking idiot Aaron Ralston's out there get pinned?
You could go with news
chopper. There's, like, news chopper. That's really guy. A thing, right?
News chopper guy is one. Another one is...
Army man. Army guy. Army man.
Army man.
Tourist guy.
Oh, yeah, tourist guy, like the volcano guy.
That would probably be the sweetest... Like most lending itself to a USA action drama or action comedy drama in the vein of Psych or Burn Notice.
Kevin Costner, both of those, by the way, just got picked up by the Esquire network. Pretty cool network you got going on there, Esquire. yeah, what was that fucking movie with Ash Kutcher? It was Ash Kutch. And it had Kevin Costner, and they were people in helicopter, and then people would be drowning in the ocean, and they would get them.
Ten Company?
It was Dive Buddies.
Dive Buddies. With Ashton Kutcher. You could be one of him.
So, yeah, it doesn't seem like there are a lot of career ops. It seems like a lot of people would want to do that. It seems like one of those jobs that maybe you don't get paid basically anything because everyone's like, yeah, you get to be in a helicopter all day.
That's life's greatest reward. Much. Oh, fucking, you can be, man, I bet you Bachelor employs so many people.
Oh, my God, yeah. What if you started your own, like, limousine-style helicopter business? That's probably not legal, is it?
I will take you to prom, the helicopter business.
Does your high school have a landing pad? No? Fuck it. We'll improvise. How are you at Halos? How are you at high altitude landing operations?
Have I got some high altitude landing opportunities for you?
If you don't capitalize on these opportunities, you are going to have unbroken legs.
I think that you should, as far as your actual question,
Say, like, follow your bliss, but...
It sounds like you're doing that too much. Maybe you need to pick something that's your bliss and just chase that.
This bliss sounds fucking dope, though.
It does. Is it something you can do, like pilot lessons where you could, like, be an amateur helicopter pilot, but maybe that's not, like, your career path, but, like, you have a license to do it. You could do it if you wanted to, but it's not your day job? Is that crazy? Is that a thing you think
you're talking about it's not like fucking like pottery. It's not like you build an attachment in your garage.
No, but you can do that. You can do that as a pilot. You can go to like a small airport and like get your pilot's license, even if you're not like a commercial airline pilot.
Hold on. That's something you can do?
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, guys, I've had fun doing this podcast, but I just got a new hobby.
Peace.
I got a hobby in the fucking clouds now.
Uh-huh.
Well, so you're saying he should be a computer scientist who, as a hobby, helicopters.
Yeah.
I think that could eat up a lot of his...
Oh, like, it's not cheap. Yeah. You gotta feed and house the helicopter, which is already expensive.
And you never own your own helicopter, right?
No, you gotta lease it.
Yeah, if you don't take good care of your helicopter, the helicopter social services will come by and be like, oh, come here, little buddy, what did he do to you? Have they been feeding you?
I've seen Helicopter Cops Houston, and it is some messed up shit down there.
I was thinking of cattle. I got helicopters confused with cattle again.
It sounds like helicopter pilot sounds like fun, but it doesn't really sound like a career that you want to do. It sounds like you just want to kind of fly helicopters, which is also fine. But I don't think that you should bail on the you don't have to make it your career. You can just be a guy that also flies helicopters.
I have
it
an idea.
Like a safer plot.
What if you were a dude who did the computer science and programming for helicopters?
Okay.
Well, what if you worked for an aerospace company that made helicopters?
Holy shit. You program the artificial intelligence of the Airwolf helicopter. Night Rider, Sky Rider, Cloud Rider.
Oh, there it is.
It's my new show. It's called Airwolf 2, Night Rider, Sky Rider.
Cloud Rider.
And it stars a Ghost guy Rider. who's a computer scientist that programs an AI for a helicopter and also makes a cartoon about the helicopter that he draws.
And he's a billionaire. And
also
and
he has sex with all kinds of people all the time.
So look out for, like, keep it locked to UPN.
Keep it on the Esquire channel. Can we put some tits on that helicopter?
Done. I got another question for you guys. I'm talking to my friend who is a lady, and she came to me feeling bummed out. I tried to cheer her up just by being positive and making her laugh. And although she did laugh, she seemed slightly annoyed for a second. Is there a certain chemistry between people who are feeling depressed and those who are trying to cheer them up that creates bad tension? Or could I be experiencing a taste of Schadenfreude? It's from Gmail.
Schadenfreude.
Man, I long for a lifestyle where I can think this much about what other people feel. This seems like you're really a considerate person, and I wish I had that inclination.
You're saying you fucking witnessed a micro expression on this person's face. You need to get in the police interrogation biz. Like, yeah, he smiled, but his eyes... for a millisecond, we're so angry, and that's how I knew he was lying about the treasure.
Hey, guys, side note, because it just occurred to me. Do you think in countries like England where bum, you know, they say bum for butt, the word bummed out means something like completely different?
Oh my
and
God.
Really dirty?
It means you hump their butt so hard that the inside of their butt comes to be the outside of their butt.
She was really bummed out.
She was,
you know
really,
what I mean?
She was bummed out so hard that she died.
Why are you making it tragic?
She died from bum loss. It was awful.
Listen, guys, time loss is bum loss.
Exactly.
I think here's one that I had to learn the hard way. Sometimes when your friend or significant other comes to you and is upset or depressed or angry, sometimes they don't want to be cheered up.
I know exactly
sometimes
what you're saying.
They just want you to say that it is in fact shitty what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just want to vent. Sometimes they just want to know that what they did was right. Because like when you're trying to cheer them up and be like, hey man, it's gonna be okay, they're like, yeah, I know it's gonna fucking be okay, I'm an adult who knows the situation, I'm just saying it sucked at this time.
The idea though for us, specifically for the three of us and our fam and growing up, coming up mm-hmm. McElroy's the new name of the podcast.
Coming to Esquire Channel.
Coming up, McElroy. Three zany bros. The idea of something being not a laughing matter was, yep, like, incomprehensible. So, like, obviously, if somebody's like, yeah, basically my whole family just died, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, well.
Time to Batman.
No, sometimes that is actually a fear in my life, though, that I'll make a joke like that, and just everyone in the room will slowly turn to me horrified and be like, why would you say?
Our podcast is just an hour of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really bad at that. When like somebody is like really pissed off about something, and I'd be like, yeah, well, at least here's a joke about Ryan Lochte. And then they'll be like, this isn't that I wanted. I wanted something different.
I find it best that when someone comes to me bummed out, just to like listen and say like, yeah, man, I know. Rather than try to be like, grass is always greener, sun shines tomorrow, there's always another day, silver lining. Because that shit can get annoying. Unless it's, you know, unless you get the feeling that that's what they're looking for. But don't just assume that.
But
that
should you, if that's your natural inclination, though.
Oh, if you're like Mr. Sunshine?
No, that's my question. Is like, it is my natural inclination to try to cheer somebody up if they're upset. I mean, it is just my natural impulse. Mm-hmm. Is it right that I should subvert that because it's what the other person wants? I mean,
it's case by case, isn't it? It's case by case. I don't think you can say it's standard or uniniform. Let's role play. Let's role play, and you guys can come at it different ways. I'll be somebody who's depressed, and you guys come at me and see just how you handle the situation.
All right, Travis, you'll be the comforting empathizer.
Okay.
And I'll be like chuckles.
Okay. Man. My man, it's, you know, they just, Burn Notice got picked up by Esquire. I'm worried that they're going to change the plot and just like everything fucking sucks today.
Yeah, man, I hear you. Whew. All
right, like, so that's it? That's all you, that's the fucking
what
laziest.
What do you want? Be like, yeah, I know. I hear they also picked up Psych. Am I right? They're going to ruin it. I hear they're getting rid of Dulé.
They wouldn't dare.
That would be the biggest mistake.
I know.
Right? And now it's cheered up because we're talking about Dulé. Everybody's mm-hmm. happy.
God, you know the ways to
I know,
the happiness
right?
cortex.
All right. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Griffin.
You want the setup again?
Please.
Do you want the same one or do you want me to talk about another problem in my life? Because right now, that's really the most pressing thing I have.
Same one. Same one.
Please. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, I used to just, I knew which channel Burn Notice was on. It was on USA?
Yeah.
TNT? I used to just turn it on channel 32, USA. That's where USA lives on my TV. I would turn it on and just let it fucking cruise because I knew where the plot was going, knew where the characters were going. Now, who knows?
Boy, Griffin, whenever I feel the way you're feeling, you know who I'd turn to? My puppet friend, Walter. Hey, thanks for getting me out of the box.
Wait, you're just
Jeff?
Doing Jeff Dunham.
Hey, I think
you're doing a Jeff Dunham thing.
You listen to me, whippersnapper?
I think he's actually doing The Beaver, the Mel Gibson movie, The Beaver, which starred a beaver puppet named Walter.
You're doing Jeff Beaver.
It's me, Jose Jalapeno on a stick.
No, it's definitely,
oh, no.
This is okay. Definitely a Dunham.
Hold on. Now, let there be no doubt about it. He has gone full Dunham.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Justin's gone full Dunham.
There is only one punishment for me. You guys got me. It's It's Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. Silence, oh, I kill you.
Fucking flip the kill switch.
I kill your switch.
Protocol Black.
Sexy Garfield is compromised.
Sexy Garfield is compromised. Flood it. Flood the station.
Guys, my office is filling with water.
Blow it. Blow the diodes. Release the biotoxin. We're done.
My diodes just blew in my office. What are you guys doing?
The only way to kill Justin is to poison him with the biotoxin while he's drowning and being electrocuted. Once he gets going on that Dunham tear, he becomes like the fucking juggernaut.
You know who's like the fucking juggernaut? My friend Bubba J.
Oh, God. Why do you know so many Jeff Dunham puppets?
Because I'm on Wikipedia, you dumb fuck.
Who's the dumb fuck now? Google knows what's up with you and your Jeff Dunham lust.
Have I talked about the... As soon as I moved to Austin and I was like meeting people and I was meeting people who knew like my friends, and it's that weird time and you don't know like whether this person is going to become a close friend of yours or just an acquaintance that you're going to meet exactly once, how I was meeting those people and for some reason I started using whether or not they like Jeff Dunham as a metric, and there is a horrifying amount of people who fucking swear by that dude's brand of comedy. And it's the people you least expect, because I'd be like hanging out with somebody like, you're really cool, I think you're going to be one of my new friends in this hometown. And then I would make a Jeff Dunham joke and they'd be like, I don't understand why you're making fun of Jeff Dunham, because like his shit's so on point.
Travis, I'm sorry. Are you a bigger Jeff Dunham fan than I knew, or are you like completely ignorant about the work of Jeff Dunham?
Huh?
Okay. You know, he was on Ellen.
He was also on 30 Rock, which makes me think that maybe this dude, maybe he's one of those guys that has, like, worked up this whole persona, but in real life is like, God, I know that this is, like, the stupidest shit, but for some reason, they love it.
Like Larry the Cable Guy, you mean?
Yeah.
Exactly like Larry the Cable Guy?
Yes.
When in behind the scenes, he's like, please, call me Lawrence.
Please don't. My name is Lawrence, cable doctor.
I went to Cable University for 7 years to get my doctorate in cabling. I can't believe I've sunk to such a level.
I got that program finished. Like, got her done is like his thing.
Sure. I'll allow it. I recently found out the men I work with make more money than I do. I'm a lady working as a carpenter. Cabinet maker, really. In a small, old-fashioned town where the chance of getting hired anywhere else is not likely. I'm really mad, but I'm not sure what to do about it. Can you help? That's from Equality Challenge on the East Coast.
Well, you've come to the right place.
You've come to just the right place. As white men, we... damn it.
Can you carve secret messages in the cabinets?
Like what? Like when people buy the cabinet, inside it says, like, made by an underpaid woman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way better than where I thought you were going with it. I thought you meant, like, magic spells to make it, like, Indian in the cupboard.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Wait.
Holy shit.
Wait a minute. Travis, are you saying that you think she should carve incantations into the cabinets?
Listen, all I'm saying is that the Indian in the cupboard had to come from somewhere, right?
Okay.
It didn't just like appear magically in the little boy's bedroom.
This is great. You put Monopoly money in there, close it, and then all of a sudden you create a toy version of the Lilly Ledbetter Act, and you put it in there, and then it's been ratified into law.
Have you thought about asking for more money?
But that's horseshit. She shouldn't have to. Why don't you put your fucking boss in the cupboard, turn him into a toy? It's probably a small cupboard, though. You probably have to fucking kill him.
You know, I'm so embarrassed now, you guys, because I've just remembered that in India, in the cupboard, it's not the cupboard at all. It's the key, because at one point he uses it on a chest, and that's how he goes to visit Little Bear. I'm so embarrassed,
right.
You guys.
Yeah, this is humiliating. We'll probably have to delete this question from the show, because people are listening like, it's the key, you dumb fucks.
All the people on my Indian in the Cupboard forums are just like, oh my God, I can't believe Keymaster 73 just said that.
I can't believe it. He's got key in his username. And his,
why didn't he know about it?
His avatar is a key.
I think talking to your boss is probably a good first option. At least opening that discussion thread.
May I suggest something much more passive aggressive?
Of course.
Thank you. So say you're getting paid 77 cents on the dollar, right? You should start doing 77% of the normal work of everyone else.
Or make all your cabinet parts 77% smaller than spec requires, than the blueprint has demanded.
and then your boss comes to you and he's like, hey, what the hell? He'd be like, oh, this is all I'm getting paid for.
Oh, sorry. You only paid me to put saloon doors on this cabinet. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know it's supposed to be for private unmentionables, but now people are going to be able to see the tops and the
bottoms. I know that this was your unmentionables cabinet.
I'm a carpenter who works at an independent unmentionables cabinet agency. We build cabinets to spec.
It's a small town with small unmentionables ideals.
Mm-hmm. And now my doors are going to be even smaller because fuck these pigs. Why don't you carve that in your fucking cat? Fuck these pigs. I hope you enjoy your cabinet. It was made by hate pigs.
Are you maybe the youngest? Are you the most, not even like physically the youngest, but the most junior member of the staff? Is that possible? Or is that just me like wishing the glass ceiling wasn't there?
I actually know from other details from a longer email that she sent that she is not, that there have been men that have been hired since her.
Well, that's dog shit.
Well, that's shit. Tell us who they are, and we'll tell everybody not to buy their fucking misogynist cabinets.
Or start carving. You need to come up with some branding and carve mm-hmm. that into the cabinet, and then we say only buy cabinets that have Equality Challenge on the East Coast brand on it.
Or start your own cabinet company with us.
Mm-hmm.
Fabinets?
Yes.
Equalbinets.
Furniture.
Oh my god.
That's pretty good, right?
Furniture? Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll start that company. And fuck those guys.
Furniture fabinets. If you don't buy a furniture fabinet, you're putting your clothes in the garbage.
The good news is I watched Shark Tank. Like, one person can start a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go and tell this story to all the sharks, and they'll be like, I'm going to gobble this up. You hooked me. And you'll have $1 million.
Can I say something, though?
Please.
I do not think they'd bite. I do not think they'd bite for furniture fabinets.
Why?
It just doesn't seem particularly lucrative. You're charging a premium. You're charging a premium for an ideal, and that is. I'm just saying, Mark Cuban is not gonna bite that bait.
It will if you get his kids involved. Mark Cuban will always invest if the product involves his kids. I saw him give a woman, an 18 year old woman, $500,000 for her eczema skin product line because his kids have eczema.
That's it. That's it. You cracked the code.
You make furniture toy fabinets.
Mm-hmm. What do your kids got? Where are your kids going to put their fucking eczema medicine, Mark? They're going to put them in a furniture fabinet. It's got a little picture of eczema on it, so the kids know what is stored in this particular unit.
And they got fun characters like Lawrence the Cable Gentleman.
Lawrence the Scaly Cable Gentleman. He's in this caricature, he's applying a salve. He's applying a salve to his rotten flesh.
Speaking of balms and salves necessary to keep your ship right, it's Max Fun Drive time. And we couldn't be more excited to present, I guess, the donation rewards this year because they are fantastic. Let's talk though first about where your money is actually going, Ditto.
It's going to the Maximum Fun Network to expand the network and bring on new shows, which I don't know if you've been paying attention. You really didn't have to be this year to notice all the fucking shows that have been added to the Max Fun Network. It's been like out of control rapid expansion. We got One Bad Mother. We got Risk was this year, I think.
Yeah, Memory Palace was this year.
Memory Palace was this year. Throwing Shade wasn't this year, was it?
I don't think so. I feel like it's been more than a year.
With Dave Hill.
Dave Hill's podcasting incident is this year. Wham Bam Pow, our new podcast that I don't even think we've talked about.
No,
with our good friends Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher and Ricky Carmona. I don't know if you guys listen to other shows other than ours. It may be presumptive to even suggest that you don't. But like seriously, it's an amazing network of comedy that really is not reproduced anywhere else. And it's not just us, it's you guys too, like the Maximum Fun community. I feel like I've been stressing this a lot lately, but it's this unique, perfect community of like no dicks. So like that I think is special and that is worth supporting. So whenever you donate, it helps us make more money from doing the show and spend more time on the podcast and do more stuff. We bought new mics. I think you'll notice after we joined the quality of our podcast got much, much better.
And not only that, like, if you're looking to donate, there are so many different levels, and you'll find one that fits your budget, something you can handle for the year. It's a, you know, it's separated donation by month. It starts from $5 a month all the way up to $200 a month. There's going to be a level that works for you, and all of those levels contain gifts to thank you for helping out with the network.
You want to give $10, you're going to be a friend of the family. That means you're going to get some awesome Max Fun earbuds, or earbuds with the distinctive Max Fun logo on the ear part that goes into your ear. And you're also going to
now
get,
which part is, because sometimes I plug like the audio jack in there.
That's where the sound hole goes, like the holes in your face where sound goes into.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's at the $10 a month level. And you're also going to get, at any donation level, you're going to get some really cool exclusive bonus material. We record a special episode of our program, and there's a whole wealth of prior year bonus material in there that you can get in and
including
enjoy.
An episode we recorded with our daddy.
And including some video of one of our live shows. So check
that's
out.
Right. Yeah, it there's a lot that. Of a lot of digi content, not just for us, but for all the Maximum Fun shows. If you are feeling a little bit more supportive, is that the
and
right
Randy.
One? And Randy. There's a $20 a month group you can go with, the Diamond Friendship Circle. You get the bonus episode, you get the earbuds, you also get, this is the fucking dopest, the Intimate Sensations Pack. An erotic fucking survival kit. Fucking survival kit from Extreme Restraints, which includes a pocket-sized Velvofeel turbo massager. It massages it. Whatever you want it to massage. Maybe you've got a sore back. Maybe you've got a hard balls.
Maybe you've got the hardest balls.
It's got attachments. So, like, I don't even know what the attachments are, but I'm sure there's one for your back and one for your balls. There is also, and this is the best, Rocket Lube, which is a high-quality water-based Maximum Fun branded lubricant for your parts.
For your down there.
For your parts or for other parts? For other people's parts?
Have you ever shoved it in and you used a lube that was average fun? That's it's just not cutting it. Doesn't cut the mustard. Have you ever used mustard?
That's absolutely ineffective. That is not even an option.
That is negative fun lube. We're talking about Maximum Fun lube. There's also a black satin mask in case you don't want to see somebody putting mustard on your balls and hitting you with a massager.
Thank you to our friends at extremestrains.com for that.
You also get a Max Fun rocket tee if you want to let people know what kind of lube you use.
Sure, absolutely. And for $35, you're going to be in Judge John Hodgman's Justice Squad, which is going to net you two really sharp-looking Maximum Fun shot glasses.
They're rocks glasses. They're like
they're rocks glasses. I'm sorry, I couldn't tell from the scale.
What's the?
And they're engraved with the Max Fun rocket. They're beautiful.
They're fucking classy. I'm trying to think of what the. It's not a highball glass.
It's
what is
it? Tumbler glass, isn't it?
Yeah. It's thick. It's got a thick bottom on it. This is a glass that you put ice in, and then you put a brown liquor on top of that ice.
Now, here's the thing. Maybe you're like me, and you're sitting there going, yeah, but I joined last year. I became a donor last year. Well, thank you so much for all your support, for continuing to support us throughout the past year and, you know, the coming year. And you think, but all these gifts, they sound great. How do I get on board with this? And it's easy. All you have to do is upgrade to a higher level. So I went and I decided to become a Justice Squad member this year so that I could cash in on all of these sweet presents.
Yeah, we're not just podcasters. We're donors too. That's how you know it's legit. I would never want to belong to a club that I'm not a member of, as Woody Allen once said in his hit film Members Only.
you will, however, even if you don't upgrade, you still have access to all that exclusive donor content,
but you can't shove that donor content in your pussy and butt.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And if you try, it's gonna be super dry because you're using a dry jump drive. You need Max Fun lube.
maximumfun.org/donate
and make sure to tell them MBMBAM sent you.
Yeah, where are your favorites, Griffin? How about you got a Yahoo for us?
I have a treasure. I have a treasure trove of Yahoo answers. These are some particularly heady nugs, as it were.
Heady choice nugs.
I've stumbled onto the forbidden Yahoos.
What do you got?
I'm afraid that these Yahoos may be above our advice ability pay grade.
Uh-oh. That sounds like we've never had, well, okay, more accurately, we've had many questions that we don't know how to answer, but that's never stopped us before.
Right, but it's a new year in April.
20 dirt.
It's a new us. I think we need to realize our deficiencies, and I think we need to reach upwards.
Okay.
For a hand that we can grab that can pull us up.
I have someone on my speed dial that I turn to, and maybe I can get him on the phone. Hold on 1 second. Let me try to call him on the phone.
This is fun.
Bleep, bloop, blop, bloop, bleep, bloop, blop.
That's not the standard Skype noise.
And you only dialed six. You only dialed six numbers.
Bloop.
Okay.
That's seven. Okay.
So is he local?
No, shut up. Shut up.
Sorry.
Bring, 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 bring. Bring, bring.
Shit, he didn't answer.
Hello, excuse me. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, who's this?
This is Dan Savage.
Oh, my God, Dan Savage.
How did you have Dan Savage's number?
Better question, why didn't you know it would be Dan Savage when you called him? Why are you surprised by it?
Did
you mean to call Fred Savage? And, like, you hit the wrong
he's
contact?
Right next. I have all the Savages in my book together.
Fred Savage is who I call when I need sex advice. So
that was my big question is who watches The Watchmen? Who gives the sex advice to the sex advisor?
Fred Savage.
Okay. Well, question answered.
And then when Fred and I are stumped, we go to Chris Savage of Mythbusters for an answer.
That man has never had a sex.
Griffin, what's the thank you first off so much for joining us, Dan. Griffin has some, as he says, choice nugs.
Choice heady, the dankest herb. Okay. That Yahoo has to offer.
Do we need to introduce Dan, or is he a man that requires no introduction?
Hopefully, if you're listening to our dumb show, you know that Dan Savage began the It Gets Better Project with his husband Terry. He has the sex advice column Savage Love. And
also the Sex Advice Podcast and Rival Sex Advice Podcast.
Rival Sex Advice Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Not rivals. We share the podcast network together. There's room enough in this world for all four of us. So long as you three stay in one podcast. If you branch out into three podcasts, there's no room anymore for us, and we will go to war.
Oh, those would be some lonely, lonely podcasts.
You got to stay in your straight podcast ghetto, all three of you together.
Right. We only one of us knows what we're talking about. So that's
that's one more that's than knows what they're talking about on my podcast. So you got that on me,
Griffin. I'm ready. Hit me with this first question.
Let's get into it. How about this one? It was sent in by Catherine Hoffman. Thank you, Catherine. It's by Yahoo Answers user Tony, who asks, "How long can you wear edible underwear? Plan to surprise the lady for Valentine's Day. Problem is, I need to work that day and will not have time to change before I see her. Is it okay to wear it for long periods of time? I work in construction."
Oh, no. That's the worst thing you could have said at the end.
That is not a real question. That's not a real question, you guys. You're getting faked out. No one has ever in the whole history of edible underwear ever worn edible underwear, which are fruit roll-ups in the shape of panties.
Sure.
Next. Pass. No, it didn't happen.
No. What happens to all the edible underwear then? Do you just get desperate, realize you have no fruit roll-ups in the house, and just go for it?
Yeah, and you pack them into your kid's lunch. Send them off to school. You can impress his friends.
Do you at least cut them into fun shapes, or do you just like...
Just only if you're a helicopter parent would you bother with that.
Let your kids cut...
Like your kid can't tear it apart with his teeth like everybody else with fruit roll-up underpants?
These are some tough panties. Ugh!
You're tearing all the kids' creativity away, too. Let the kid tear the panties into whatever shapes he wants to.
Exactly.
Also, as somebody who has dived so deep into Yahoo Answers, I'm perpetually stuck in Yahoo Answers limbo, I am not convinced that there isn't somebody out there who wears edible underwear for their comfort, for their just you for, know, for but relaxation.
The thing is, the missing part there, though, the leap you haven't made, is there might be somebody out there wearing edible underwear, but no one in the whole history of edible underwear has ever slept with that person or any other person who wears edible underwear.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying.
That person wears edible underwear in theory that they might one day in practice have sex with somebody, but it's never going to happen.
Sure. But if there were such a fucking psychopath on there, they would be an active user in the Yahoo Answers service.
No
that
question.
Is 100% true.
Griffin, how about another question? I want to help someone today. Okay. This is our chance.
How about this? It was sent in by Emily Wall. Thank you, Emily. It's by a Yahoo Answers user, Drop Dead Gorgeous, who asks, well, IDK how, I would ask this, but how do you touch a girl's boobs? You see, I've touched her boobs before, but IDK if I did it right. And I got real nervous. Also, how do you do it while her shirt is still on?
Dan, I should have warned you before we started. Sometimes our show can get a little blue. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Things do get a tad racy.
We talk about things that could be observed as being sin in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
So just a heads up.
Okay. How do you touch a... Okay. If you know about this, I would love to hear it. How do you touch a girl's boobs?
With permission.
That's obviously number one key thing.
I would start with consent.
Consent? key, absolutely.
Have you tried being super attractive and charming and like saying dope shit to women?
That does seem like people who are on all sides of the court... People who are very attractive and say the right things all the time, they seem to touch the most privates.
I've also found that women really like it when you pretend to be a DJ on their boobs.
No, I don't think that's accurate, Travis. 100%
of the time, every time.
I'm going to have to defer to you guys on this. You're three straight guys, right? I've only ever touched a girl's boobs under duress in my teen years when I was trying to prove I was straight, and I'm sure I was bad at it.
A crowded subway car, perhaps? I mean...
No, a girlfriend. I had girlfriends. I said dope shit, and I got a girlfriend. And I had to do dick shit that I didn't want to do with her, and it was a disaster. Apparently, that pretending your girlfriend is Andy Gibbs is not a form of birth control. We'll just leave it there.
I mean, there's a lot of methods you can... I'll tell you this. Don't go to Yahoo Answers to ask this. Because the top answer is, who cares, just grab it. That's not it. That's 100% the wrong one.
No, that's not right.
Even with consent, just like blindly just like...
Just latching on like an alien baby. Just
going with the double crab claw is like, a fucking...
Like a drunk guy looking for the light switch. Just stop it.
Have you guys all had sex with more than one woman each?
At the same time? No.
Simultaneously? No, not simultaneously, like in sequence. I'm just, I would assume that different women enjoy having their boobs touched differently. You know, some guys like to have their balls slapped, and some guys just like to have them cupped.
Right,
is it not
the
same?
I like having one ball slapped and the other one cupped at the same time.
That's a big trick. That's a good trick if you can do it.
I like it to be like that that desktop thing where you swing one and then they kind of clack against each other and swing back and forth.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, obviously Justin and Travis know this because they're my brothers, but Dan, I have super loose balls. They are crazy, crazy, crazy loose.
Well, you should do your Kegels. And you can actually get, there's a surgery where they take in your scrotum. There's not a lot of nerve endings in the scrotum, so you can safely have that adjusted
just tuck
for
it.
You.
Yeah, well, I'll see about that. See, you are, goddamn, you're good at this.
Yeah, you know things.
I know things. Inside
we should learn at least a few things before we start doing this again, guys, because we really don't know anything.
I think you got to start Tinder, and then you can ramp up from there if need be. If the feedback, it's all about active feedback, isn't it? It's all about doing some shit. Start with the most harmless shit you can. And then just ramp it up.
Ramp it up. Hey, can I tell you a funny story about my uncle, another one of those straight guys in the world like you three?
Sure.
Absolutely.
It's about balls, so it's kind of relevant. He was a rock star in California in the 70s, had this big regional band, and he used to get a lot of blowjobs from, what are those things called, groupies. And because it was the 70s, he slept with a lot of virgin groupies, and that was fine with him. And he likes a lot of pain during a blowjob. He likes to have his balls punched and slapped and his dick bitten. Hey, Uncle Jimmy, if you're listening, how you doing?
And welcome to the show, Uncle Jimmy.
And so what he would always say to these girls when he would instruct them on how exactly he liked his junk just mauled is he would pat them on the head and say, this is how all guys like it.
So oh, that, no! Oh. It, Uncle
so,
Jimmy!
So that when they then slept with the next rock star...
That's the poor guy. Great move.
Got his junk just fucking beat down. And that would entertain my Uncle Jimmy. Late at night, he'd think, oh, that girl I slept with last month is now sucking Mick Jagger off. Wonder how that's going.
Not good.
You're creating psychological time bombs inside of these women's sex.
That's actually what Paint It Black was written about. Can you imagine, like, thinking like, oh, you must be one of Jimmy's girls. I can't believe you've been poisoned the well for everybody.
You carry his brand of ball trauma.
That might have taken care of your loose balls. She could have taken a chunk out of them, and you could have stitched it right up.
Right.
Yep. There you go. Sure. It would have been surgeons. A little lopsided. But.
Surgeons who can keep a secret. Trap Griffin, yeah. I needed one more question. I know you have one more.
I have a few.
Uh-oh.
This one was sent in by Valerie Rogers. Thanks, Valerie. It's by Yahoo Answers user D341255, which I imagine is not their Christian name, who asks, should mixed gender swim classes be allowed? At my daughter's schools from 6th to 10th grade in PE, she attends the swim unit, and boys and girls have it together? Why is this allowed? Shouldn't this make the girls feel uncomfortable and give boys an opportunity to harass and humiliate girls and cause distractions and goofing off among everybody? Not to mention young boys will be around with no shirt, which I think is inappropriate for girls to be around of. Woof.
Wow.
See, as this... do I, sort of. I don't think there should be mixed gender relationships at all. In pools and under the suites at the altar.
In no situation.
Those mixed gender relationships, they never work out.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess... In defense of whatever principal or gym teacher has put together this particular program, 6th to 10th grade is, like, there's a bubble there in a young man's life where he is incredibly sexually mature, and he knows how to really handle himself around, you know, temptation and his female peers. And that bubble lasts from ages, you know, 10 to 15.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't see any problem with it.
I would also say that the young men do not need any extra help to sexualize women at that point. So
right.
I think whether they're in, you know, bathing suits or like full-on parkas.
Or encased in Iron Maidens. It doesn't matter.
And if the water in the pool is growing increasingly opaque over the course of the swim class, you have a problem.
if there's a half inch of spume on top of this, of foamy spume... There's an issue.
We brought out a UV light and the place burned down. So it was a bad scene.
I am stealing that.
That fucking graduating class is not going to be able to look at each other on the fucking podium and getting their diplomas. No
we
way.
All
no
we all know what you did
you know, not that there isn't sexual tension, I must say, in a single gender swim class that I had to do in freshman year at Quigley Preparatory Seminary North, a high school Catholic school for boys thinking about becoming priests, where I shit you not.
Is that the whole title of the school?
That's a Quigley really Preparatory Seminary North, where I shit you not, swim class was in the nude. We wonder where these problems in the Catholic
the
Church
fuck?
Came from.
What?
Did this swim class happen next to the vomitorium because it took place in ancient Rome?
Basically. And there were two priests on staff full-time. They were called disciplinarians. They sat in an office all day having teenage boys sent to them to get spanked. I was going to be a priest until they eliminated those positions. And then I thought, you know what? I can wear dresses and live in a big house and fuck boys without the whole ordination business.
Waiting list a mile long.
Oh my God. Yeah. That position is like right below the Pope in terms of desirability.
I'd love to. I don't have the grades. I don't have the grades. And on the community service, I'll never get the job. There's a whole line of dudes waiting to get that gig.
Although, you know, I think about it. If your entire high school class had all been through this fucking obstacle course of sexuality, maybe it would like get a bunch of shit out of the way and then you could like focus on school and stuff. Maybe this would be like the most enlightened high school class ever because they don't have to think about those things.
Right.
Let me check my schedule real quick. I got math first period, and then I got English, and then I got boners. And
I had boners all day, every day, for an entire semester. So, like, I can't get boners anymore.
No, I think
I'm desensitized to boners forever.
Right.
Sixth grade, though, girls are, you know, more developed than boys. They develop faster than boys. Wouldn't that be, you know, people worry about the girls being harassed or slut-shamed or made to feel uncomfortable. Wouldn't the boys be the ones who feel uncomfortable in sixth grade because the girls are a foot taller than they are and dating guys in college, and there they are, like, still, like, hairless little monkeys with no hair on their nuts? Wouldn't it be mortifying for the boys?
Listen, Dan, if I put off interacting with girls until I'm sexually developed, I don't think I would have had... I wouldn't have met a woman until my late 20s, so...
Yeah, you wouldn't be married right now.
I wouldn't be married right now, yeah. I don't think there's any age at which... I wore sweatpants all through my freshman year of high school because I didn't want to change for gym. Like, and that was... I was 14 or 15 at that point, like...
Yeah.
Not because I was afraid of changing for gym, but I did at one point have to have someone had to sit me down and talk to me about wearing dress shirts and tearaway pants as a look. So I don't think there was ever a worry about me interacting
with
that.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something that'll make you want to get in a time machine and go blow your brains out when you're 15? When I was 15, I had a girlfriend who was my older brother's ex-girlfriend, and I lost my virginity in a three-way. So I was doing well with the ladies at 15 because I didn't give a shit. I was like, oh, all right, I guess.
Just think about how many more three-ways you could have been in, though, if you were in tearaway pants. Because then there's no... You don't have to...
At any opportunity! What are we...
There's no fumbling. Yeah. That fucking pool, Travis, well, would have evacuated.
At 15, I had also mastered button and zipper technology, and I could actually get my pants off when that when the moment.
Well, some of us were not all that advanced, Dan.
Yeah, Travis doesn't have prehensile.
Whoa, Mr. Braggy McGee coming over from his podcast.
Sorry,
and zippers.
Dan's so great at taking his pants off. Off and on.
Just
off
saying,
and on,
you
just
would have gotten more pussy when you were 15 if you were gay. That's all I'm saying.
Advice for everyone.
Dan, before we let you go, is there anything we can help you with?
I do have a question.
But okay.
Yeah, I had girlfriends when I was 15. I had sex with girls. I never performed cunnilingus. And if there's, you know, say I get arrested, I get thrown in prison, and the men's prisons are full, and I'm sent to a women's prison, and there's some like bizarre set of circumstances under which I am required to perform cunnilingus, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I like to play like I'm a DJ.
No, the DJ is not, we're not doing that again. We're not going to the DJ.
Let me ask you something. Did you, Dan, did you listen to the radio at all in the 90s?
I did.
There was a man named, I asked because there was a man named John Popper, who was the front man for a band called Blues Traveler. And the way that he does his thing on a harmonica is basically like that, except it's like sideways. It's horizontal.
So are you telling me? Are you advising our friend Dan that should he be in this alternate universe, which frankly sounds a lot like a lot of the slash fiction I've read over the year? The men's prison was all full. I was the only dude, and you're saying he should blow into the vagina like John Popper.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
Okay.
And imagine the bridge from Hook. In the Blues Traveler song Hook.
I will try my best.
You could also close your eyes and imagine the final battle from the movie Hook and just do that as well.
Peter Pan versus Dustin Hoffman as Captain Hook.
Now, let me tell you this. Women hate it when you shout bangarang into their vaginas. As long as you don't do that, really, you should be fine.
You should be fine.
Anything else goes.
I will do what I can.
Also, start gentle, ramp up. Maybe they do.
This is better advice than a bisexual friend of mine gave, who said, "Just pretend you're trying to extract a bullet from a wound."
Oh my god!
Pretend that your lady's vagina has just been bitten by a cobra. Suck that venom out. Get that venom out. She's got to live.
No,
damn
it! Pretend the clit is a bullet, and you are, without using your teeth, trying to remove it from this gunshot wound that is her business.
That parenthetical in there is so vital.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah, don't
do not actually try to remove it. It's in there for a reason.
Unless, you know, everybody likes something different.
That's true.
You just got to ask her, your friend at Jimmy's.
Yeah, and, like, I was going to say she could be my Aunt Jimmy.
I mean, while we have the opportunity,
I have a question for you. The three of us were raised Southern Baptist.
Sorry.
I know. Our parents are wonderful people, and they taught us a lot of good stuff. But in terms of becoming, I guess, what's the word I'm looking more modern in our approach to sexuality, we kind of all had to learn the hard way in getting rid of a lot of the teachings, lessons that we learned, like from, especially from that religious background.
The
like,
Beatitudes.
The Beatitudes, for example. Like, is there a better path to getting out, like to unlearning those lessons rather than just looking like a dumbass enough until it gets through?
Well, I think when it comes to men raised in the Southern Baptist tradition, the quickest way to help them unlearn a lot of the sex phobia and hang-ups and slut-shaming and double standards is to bend them over the sofa and fuck them in the ass really hard with a strap-on dildo and not a lot of lube.
Is there an option B?
Hey, listen, I'm not ruling anything out. I'm willing to change. I'm going to change, and I'm going to do whatever it takes.
You know, option B is just get out there in the world and live your life, and you'll encounter all sorts of different people who disprove a lot of the bullshit that you're taught in your faith tradition. I was raised Catholic. I was taught a lot of bullshit too. And you get out there in the world and you realize that it's not as simple or as cut and dried or black and white or Jesus likes this and Jesus doesn't like that as your parents and your preachers and teachers led you to believe. It's a quick unlearning process.
I think Justin's hoping for a sort of a safe environment where you can do this and maybe get it over with in a week. Maybe like some sort of camp experience. Where
San
just
Francisco.
Like,
there should be like camps for straight guys in San Francisco where you just get dropped off in a Speedo at the corner of Market and Castro on a Friday night and you have to fight your way back to your hotel in San Diego without any help from anybody.
Just go nuts.
A strength survivor, we'll call it. And you just have to...
That's right.
It's like the new Hunger Games. I would watch that.
You will have your eyes and your thighs opened for you.
Dan Savage, thank you so, so, so much for joining us. It was a genuine treat. You're the second guest we've ever had after our dad. And
the only one who didn't ejaculate all three of you into the world. I feel honored.
Yeah. the only one. You're our first non-ejaculate guest.
Let me posit this. Didn't you?
Ooh, twist!
Whoa.
So,
Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. My pleasure.
Thank you so much to Dan Savage for joining us. That was such a treat. And, you know, he only does that because we're members of the Maximum Fun Network. If we weren't, he wouldn't have the time. He's a big deal.
That's true.
He wouldn't have the time of day for us.
If you don't believe us, try getting him on the horn and getting him on your fucking podcast. You can't do it if you don't carry that cachet. He is a very, very brand aware person.
Dan Savage cares about one thing, labels. Super, super duper appreciate Dan joining us. That was a real thrill for us. And this is the kind of stuff that happens on the Maximum Fun Network. And you could be supporting it right now by going to MaximumFun.org/donate and just donating a few bucks a month. Kick us a few bucks, 10 bucks for those that earbud and bonus content, or 20 bucks for lots of things for your vagina and your butt, and 35 to get drunk enough to try using butt lube, you know?
And here's the thing. In all of this, as with our podcast, you are our best marketing tool. So, you know, if you are already a donor, if you already support, great. Thank you so much. Now go tell all your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Say, hey, I'm a donor. Why aren't you? I know you listen to this, Jimmy. We've listened to it together. And now you're pirating it because you have the chance to support this network. And you're not.
There are only two kinds of Maximum Fun listeners. Donors and thieves. Which one?
I was going to go with donors or boners.
Donors or boners. 2013. Which one do you want to be?
Only two kinds of listeners come out of my brother, my brother and me. Donors and boners. Which one are you, son?
What's that voice you're doing?
It was supposed to be like an army drill sergeant.
I
don't know what it was exactly.
Yes.
Also stoners. Donors and boners and stoners.
Who meant to donate but forgot.
Oh, shit, I missed that 2 weeks.
When's that pledge drive, dude? It's July. You missed it completely.
You've been asleep for 4 months.
Are you talking about stoners or Rip Van Winkle?
Just stoners and boners and donors and Rip Van Winkles.
And gypsies and tramps and thieves. So on top of the three levels that we've described at length, there are other higher levels if you're a high roller. And you want the dopest that our network has to offer gift-wise. There's, if you want to drop a hundo per month, there you can be a member of Jesse's Golden Eagles, where you are initiated into the Inner Circle, which is a club that discusses comedy, music, art, and culture. And basically what that means is the hosts of Max Fun programs, we will curate our favorite work each month and we will share it with you, this the inner circle member. It's basically like Comedy Illuminati, which mm-hmm. almost rhymes. You also get the rocks glasses and the vibrator and the earbuds and the lube and the digital content. But you also get to be a member of a secret society. If you want to go even higher, there's a $200 per month Jordan's Platinum Angels, which gets you all that shit and free registration for fucking boatparty.biz for the Atlantic Whoa. Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. It's a cruise that goes to the Bahamas with everyone who's ever been funny.
You could trip to the Bahamas for listening to podcasts.
Think you about it.
Listen, you can fucking hang out with Maria Bamford and John Hodgman and Josie Long and Mark Maron and Eugene Merman and go to the fucking Bahamas. Anyway, I got heated there for a second because it made me angry that I wasn't going to do that. But fuck.
But you could.
But you could because it sounds – you could do something so cool that I'm not allowed to do it. That is how cool this thing is.
It is very cool. So please go to MaximumFun.org/donate. Give, support our show. It really does mean the world to us.
We're trying to get 1,000 new donors this year. We've done it, I think, 2 years in a row. We've swung mm-hmm. it. Also, for every new donor, you can. We have challenge donors who donate, like, you know, a quarter or whatever based on how many new donors we get. So,
and it's around $6 a month for every new donor, so it's huge.
That's enormous because that adds up. If we get 1,000 new donors, that's an extra $6,000 a month going to the network. So
everybody who tweets a link to our donate page with the hashtag MaxFunDrive, you get entered into a giveaway to win a trip to Los Angeles and a tour of MaxFun headquarters. The best tweet wins. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's huge. It's awesome. So
we're can doing I a lot win of shit? That?
Because no. I've been tweeting a lot.
Absolutely not.
We're doing a lot of shit this year. I know it's weird to because we you know we do this annually. We don't do it every week. I know it's weird to hear us asking for money, but like seriously, it means the world that the people out there who donate like to support us doing this fucking thing that we mm-hmm. do every week. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we just fucking fart and a podcast comes out. Like, you know. It takes work, but it's still at the end of the day fucking goofing off with my bros. So like seriously, think about supporting if you listen and I just thank you.
Thank you so
from
much.
My heart.
Questions. I got them. That's a new bed I've been working on.
Okay.
Like a
Is
liner?
It the bed that you do whenever you don't
Questions.
Have the email loaded up. Okay.
I got them.
I like
Answers.
It.
You want them. It's my brother and me. It's a show. It's a podcast. It's a pyramid scheme.
Okay.
Don't tell anybody. I shouldn't have put that in the jingle.
And then the podcast made off with my money.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've been working on that one for a couple of years
now. I said that podcast priest everything I had. My boyfriend of 5 months recently asked if I would help him deep clean his apartment. He seemed hurt by my immediate response of, clean your own damn place, dude. To be fair, he did not ask me to clean for him. He just asked if I would be willing to help out as a favor. I have to admit, his place is gross, and I would love it if it was less so, but I can't help feeling weird about scrubbing my boyfriend's toilet. Uh-huh. Is my response unreasonable? Should I be down with the idea of helping him clean his place? That's from Perplexed in Portland.
How about just don't scrub his toilet? How about you just clean his stove?
He handles toilet duty. I would never, ever, ever want someone else to clean my house.
Ever.
Where did you
reason.
Put everything I need? I don't know. I put it in a cabinet somewhere.
Not just that, but like I hope you enjoyed touching my fecal particles. Because it's not just, guess what? Doesn't just live in the toilet. There's more of his fecal particles on his stove than in his toilet, which is horrifying. You need to ask him what he's been doing there.
Why is he pooping on his stove?
It's a great question, Travis. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis, for asking the big question.
The big, hard question.
We're not afraid to ask the big questions here. Why you poop on your stove, Dylan?
We're just afraid to answer them or look at them. You gotta say no. This sucks. It sucks that he put you in this position.
Now, hold on. Don't you think it could be like Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, kind of like montage cleaning, getting to know you, happy fun times?
Get those cobwebs off the ceiling fan by dancing upwards onto the ceiling. There's a ceiling.
I'm just saying that in every movie where you see people like cleaning up a new space they found, everybody mm-hmm. seems so happy and they're growing closer as friends.
Fuck me on these old pizza boxes at the end of the montage. We've been cleaning so long for so hard. We're real sweaty. Fuck me on these pizza boxes.
Do that thing where you paint on his nose. Mm-hmm. You know, uh-huh. With the roller, you're like, oh, you got me. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Oh, and camera tricks make it look like you're painting over the camera.
Yo, mm-hmm. I love that. I love that mm-hmm. move. You know what? I would be so mad if somebody painted on my nose. I don't care how old we are.
Do you know how hard it is to get this shit off? I know it's latex and it'll like peel off, but still, you made me look like a fucking moron.
It happens in Benjamin Button, and it's him and
Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett, the love interest in Benjamin Button, and he paints on her nose. And I thought, man, what an asshole. That's your whole fucking day.
You know when like somebody pinches your nose and it hurts like shit? Like, it hurts when you apply any amount of pressure to your nose whatsoever. You gotta scrub that shit to get it off. You gotta use lye.
Ugh. He should not have asked. It was incorrect. It was a miscalculation to ask. Because, like, no.
5 months?
Yeah, okay, no. Here's the thing. I agree, because it's one thing if, like, you volunteer, like, hey, we should maybe pick this place up. I'm happy to help. It's another thing to be like, oh, man, my place is a dump.
My turlet needs grouting. Grout my turlet!
Now, it does, okay, but on the flip side of this, if you spend any sort of time there, a considerable amount of time, then, you know, if you guys are, like, splitting living places, I think it's a fair request to ask, you know, I guess, to ask you to pitch in.
Why is this fucking place so dirty? Why doesn't he fucking clean it himself?
It's one thing to be like, hey, we made dinner together, let's do the dishes together. It's another to be like, man, I've been living in squalor for like 6 months.
Well, he could find a way to work around.
Help me throw out everything that I've been hoarding.
I know you've used this turlet as well during your 5 months where you've been over here. So would it really kill you to get us help us both out? You're really doing us both a favor by scrubbing my
turlet. Well, is he going to help you clean up your apartment?
Oh, she doesn't need that.
Okay, so then I think that she doesn't need to help him.
Yeah, she doesn't need to help him. Tell his messy ass that you're not coming over anymore until he cleans up, period, the end.
Just saying, no scrubs.
No scrubs until you scrubs.
Tell him to creep to the hardware store. Where do they sell cleaning supplies?
Walgreens.
Tell him to make a waterfall of scrubbing bubbles. Uh-huh. I don't know what even the cleaning supplies are called.
Have you cleaned stuff before?
I don't produce any waste. I've managed to streamline. I've managed to streamline my life so much that I don't produce any waste in any like any format. No oils. My body doesn't produce any natural oils. No sweats. No. I mean, I don't. I haven't evacuated in like 15 years, is what I'm saying. I'm so sick.
Listen, this whole podcast is just a cry for help, you guys.
Belly's the size of a sumo beanbag.
Well, it's not a cry for help, Travis, because I can't cry, is what I'm saying. I keep it inside. I managed to exude all of my body's natural toxins through a vapor.
Introducing ourselves as your oldest, your middlest, and your lumpiest. Your most unsettlingly lumpiest.
Your most jaundiced. Well, the lumps are just my toxin sacs, which is where I exude.
No problem.
It's natural.
And that's how Griffin became a Batman villain.
Do not touch them. Oh, my God. I know I produce a natural rattling noise that piques the curiosity.
But, he often lures in small children that way.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you guys. I'm going to be caught in between two jobs in a month or so. I plan on relocating to a different state at the end of the summer where my girlfriend is starting grad school and will be continuing my civil engineering career there. However, at my current company, people are resigning left and right, indicating a sinking ship. I have a suspicion that I'll have the summer free. My question is this. What can I do for 3 months that can still put food on the table but has only a short-term commitment? I'm an outdoorsy, numbers nerd, an amateur tinkerer. That's from Future Carney in Chicago.
Okay, you want to know a secret?
Hit me.
Anything.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and type your metrics here into the job assistant that places you. So outdoorsy, numbers nerd, amateur tinkerer. Subway. Just go work at Subway. Not on the Subway, at a Subway. Subway sandwich shop.
You too can be a sandwich artist.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's the important thing. No matter what interview you go into, you just want to keep that 3-month time limit right in your pocket. Do not pull that move
out. I see a big future for myself here at the Walgreens. I got some big ideas about how you guys can change up the way that you sell your off-brand chips.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Whoa. Let's scale that back.
Where do I see myself in 10? Here? Did you guess here? Because the answer is here. At Walgreens. I love it. I'm never going anywhere.
I don't have kids, but when I do, they're going to work at Walgreens. This Walgreens.
I want it to be a family business.
The important thing is that one ploy you can take is found a softball league, an intro Walgreens softball league. Literally weeks before you are to resign, they will never. Because then you can really quit saying like, I can't leave you guys right now. It's too. We got inventory coming up. There's the division playoffs against CVS. Like, I don't know how I can leave now.
Ooh, or maybe like organize everyone into like a Walgreens union, and then just before the strike, you quit. You dip.
I'm the sacrifice that this Walgreens demands. I'm sorry. You'll have to go on without me.
I have to go into hiding like Batman at the end of Dark Knight.
Remember the lessons I've taught you. I am not the cashier that this Walgreens deserves, but I'm the one it no longer has. Bye.
Bye.
I worked at a Jimmy John's in Norman, Oklahoma, knowing that, you know, the school year is about to end and I was about to go home. Mm-hmm. And it provides a lot of psychological freedom because, like, if your boss yells at you for doing something wrong or, like, they work you a terrible shift or something, it's like, yeah, but in your head, you know that fuck that place.
I don't want to put you on blast, Travis, but weren't you fired from that Jimmy John's?
No, they actually wanted to make me an assistant manager, and I left. Man. I have been fired from a lot of places, Griffin.
Yeah.
So I understand why that is a safe assumption.
I got it matched up.
But this
up.
Jimmy John's.
Do anything you want to. This is a great time for you. Do a job for 3 months that you can write a book about.
I think that there's too many ex-Subway employees. Maybe that book's being pitched all over, like Memories of a Subway Artist. Uh-huh. And just people like, no, we already have 20 of those manuscripts.
A lot of those in the hopper.
A lot of those are cooking up in pre and post-pro.
Now, if you could write a Subway-based movie, now we're talking.
Now you're cooking ass.
There already is a fucking Subway TV show. I see ads on it for Hulu all the time. You know about this?
What? Sorry?
I think it's called The 9 to 5ers. It's a Hulu-only TV show, as all the best television programming is.
Good job.
And it's about people who work at Subway. And it's not like Funway. It's not like an offshoot. It's fucking legit to quit Subway.
It seems sponsored by Subway?
That seems like a pretty good show. I'd probably watch that show.
It's pretty good. It's all about, you know, love, life, making sandwiches, of course.
There's a lot of commercials for Hulu-based programs that look pretty good. I saw a lot of commercials from where I've been
watching real shows.
Watching real shows.
Watching real television shows.
We got fake shows on here.
Yeah, do you know how they pay for all those fake shows?
How?
Because they have a fucking show that's all about Subway. They have Subway programming. Anyway, it makes me so angry. I have a Yahoo answer, if you guys don't mind the leap. Maybe this will calm my nerves. It's sent in by Emily Wall. Thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Layla Bell, who asks, I'm a cat person, and so is my friend. We understand each other's meows and other sounds.
Wait, hold on.
When in the dark, we are cat.
Wait a minute.
Holy shit.
What?
I actually, this is so weird, because when you said the phrase, I am a cat person, my first thought was, I've been doing this show too long, because I know what this person means is they're a person who likes to own cats, but I hear, like, I'm a half cat, half person,
I tried to vocalize the hyphen in between cat and person. I am a cat person. When in the dark, we are cat, but in the light, we are human. My friend has sharp, cat-like teeth, but I'm less obvious. We don't change shape, but we lose complete control and go cat. Please. If anyone has info on this or has the same experience, fill us in.
Okay, so they want help. How do we fix it? We can't help it. Oh, my God.
I don't want to fix it. I want to hang.
I
just want to hang.
Yeah.
Can we get one hang going, please?
Just one.
But here's the thing, Justin. Think about the reality of that situation, because let's be honest. Lights, you know, the lights go dim, and you're just watching a fucking real person.
Well, you're not watching.
Like, oh, now I'm a cat.
Travis, if you can see them, if there's enough light to see them,
hold on.
They're human beings.
So even if you were doing, like, night vision goggles.
See, that's the only way. That's the only way you can observe these fools in their natural environment.
Cruel fate to be in a room. It's like Lady Hawk, you know? Like, you're in a room with a cat person, but you can only see them as person because they can't really, like, go ham with the lights on. You need night vision goggles.
You gotta have NVGs. That is
unless it's like a Kel Mitchell in oh, fuck me.
In real life? Kel Mitchell is only Kel Mitchell when he's being naturally observed.
Otherwise, he is Kenan Thompson.
Otherwise, oh, no. I don't think that's it. Although I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
That's why the show is called Kenan / Kel.
Kenan or Kel. Do you watch Kenan or Kel?
Kenan by way of Kel?
Kenan / Kel.
Oh, man. This situation. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I just want to know what it's like to be in a room with two people that you think are otherwise people, persons. Not cat persons, just persons.
And then the lights go off and you're like,
oh, there's a power surge.
Why does it sound like you're pooping in a box?
Where's my milk?
Where did it go? Sounds like it's being lapped. But that's weird. I don't have a cat. I only have two peoples. This is a strange situation I'm in. I think I'd like to leave.
You can't leave.
I think I'd like to leave this room. Where's the door?
I can't find the door.
So
the door, because the lights are off. Here's the terrifying thing. They can see you because as cats, they have superb dark vision.
Mm-hmm. They got
so they're hunting you now.
Cat eyes.
You're the prey. They're the predator. Prey.
They're the predator.
I can't. It's like if
Griffin,
those,
what's that to your left?
It's bright in my room. My real cat is outside. Maybe he's a person when it's dark. That would suck. That would suck if that happened. If there was like a 2 second like window where like the power goes out and it comes back on and there's just like a fucking dude on my couch just like sup meow, it changes like just like that. I would be fucking freaked. I would move out. The house is yours now, Cecil. I'm done.
You are welcome, Stephen King. I bet you send us a check when you make this into a book and a movie and a play and another movie.
If you're gonna fucking LARP an Animorph. Which, if I had said that sentence 10 years ago to anybody, I would be committed to an insane asylum pretty much right away. But but now, thanks to Yahoo Answers, I can fucking crack that cipher. If I were to LARP an Animorph, why would you go with a fucking domesticated house cat and not a more exotic animal?
Ooh, good call.
A more erotic animal, even.
Do they say house cat, or do they just say cat?
It could be a big, beautiful jungle cat. He's got a point.
And it's a with sinewy like a cougar with a sinewy muscles. I get it. Cougars are basically land dolphins. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen.
Slick one of those bad boys up, and you.
you slick a cheetah up. You got a dolphin, basically.
It's basically what you're working with.
Thank you all so much for listening to this podcast.
They can't hear us. They're too busy jerking off right now.
Stop jerking it for just a second while we give you this very important message about the Maximum Fun Drive. It is a 2-week blowout of fun and laughs.
Man, don't say blowout right after you ask them to stop jerking it.
Okay, you're right. It's like talking about waterfall when your friend has to pee. It is a 2-week festival of fun and laughs. We really hope that you'll go to MaximumFun.org/donate and choose one of these donation levels. For $10 a month, you can get those Maximum Fun earbuds that are really slick and the digital content. For $20, a big sex pack, the Intimate Sensations from our friends at ExtremeChase.com. The earbuds are in there. The digital content is not in there. It's in the cloud, but you know.
Just go to MaximumFun.org/donate. It has all the details, all the prize packs.
By the way, to clarify on that $20 a month pack, you can, instead of the sex stuff, get a Maximum Fun Rocket Tee, if that is more your bag.
Oh, so it's an option.
It's a either-or situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can do that.
If you donate, thank you a lot. Go to that page if you need to, like, migrate from, you know, a shitty credit card to, you know, PayPal, or you can change your donation options there. You can also upgrade your donations. If you don't donate, think about it. just if you're sitting at your computer and we've given you entertainment and you dip into all the other shows and we give you all this shit and you want to support us, that would be the dopest. Just go to MaximumFun.org/donate. We won't belabor the point, but think about it. Just think about it. That's all please, I ask.
Will you please just think about it?
And we want to say thank you again to Dan Savage.
God damn it.
For guesting on the show from Savage Love and Savage Love Cast over at The Stranger. So make sure you check out his shit if you haven't already, because we assume that you do. But he's incredible and he's an awesome dude. Thanks again, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. And thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can find that on iTunes or Amazon, I'm sure. I'm sure you can. I'm sure of it.
Thank
you guys.
Thank you for listening and helping to keep this show running and all the shows on the Maximum Fun Network.
It's just such an amazing, you know, I know we say it a lot and we've said it just about every week since we joined, but it's such an amazing just site and organization and a thing to be a part of. So thank you guys so much for being a part of it with us.
You guys want to find on Yahoo?
Hit me.
This final Yahoo is sent in by Timothy Aitken, or Atkin. Thank you, Timothy. It's by Yahoo Answers user Donna Griffin, who asks, "You answer my question now. How can I get in touch with Ellen DeGeneres? Help!"
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, may kiss your dad.
Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.